All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking about private channels in Microsoft Teams. With us, our guest is Roshan Lal Ramesan. And, Roshan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do on the Microsoft Teams team, and then we'll pass it on to Dino.
Sure. Thanks, Habib. Great to be on the show. So my name is Roshan Lal Ramesan. I am a principal product lead with Microsoft Teams, and I'm responsible for the core Teams and channels collaboration experiences, including private channels, which we announced general availability of recently at Ignite.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, so just starting off, Roshan, in terms of SharePoint, the private channel architecture caused some angst in the SharePoint community because of the separate SharePoint collection. And just for the benefit of our viewers, when you create a private channel, it does create a separate SharePoint site collection. And I think that's what caused some of the angst with the SharePoint community. Microsoft did increase the site collection limit from 500,000 to 2 million to alleviate some of these concerns. But perhaps you can just, talk about whether you've seen any significant impact on SharePoint Online during the beta cycle of this and the early adopters, and then maybe any other concerns that have materialized as a result of this.
That's a great question, Dino. So let me give you some background into how it was designed this way, right? And why we arrived at the choice that we did. So private channels, as you're aware, is meant to create a focused private collaboration space within a team, right? Teams is all about, facilitating open and transparent collaboration. That's where we led with standard channels first, but then we have customers, who actually mentioned that they have scenarios where their leadership, et cetera, would want to have focused conversations within the team without having to create yet another team. So that's where we came up with private channels. And we wanted to make sure that we stick to the promise of private channels, which is that only members of the channel can access all of its channel content, including the files content, right? And SharePoint has this longstanding, behavior that is fully baked into the product, that when you take an Office 365 group, so all teams are backed by Office 365 groups, standard channels map to folders on the Office 365 group. The owner of the group or the team actually maps to site collection admins on the SharePoint side, right? And site collection admins on the SharePoint side have access to all of the contents of the site collection. And this is where we decided to make the private channel backed by an independent site collection as compared to putting the contents in the team site that is associated with the parent group or team. So this ensures that only people who are members of the private channel have access to the private channel contents. And we make sure that, admin has the right visibility, the team owners have the right visibility, and that's how it is managed. You continue to manage the team, whereas the site collection backs now the files in a private way for the private channel. As a part of this, what we did is, because we knew, like you mentioned, that, customers who have used to SharePoint or from a group's administration perspective, from a SharePoint administration perspective, they had questions. So what we ensured is that before we launched private channels, we actually did a pretty extensive preview program with, close partners of like Teams customers, with SharePoint customers, et cetera, to get their feedback in terms of what are the potential concerns that might arise from this. One of the concerns that we heard was in terms of the number that you mentioned, which is the total number of site collections in a tenant. There are a few customers who actually had automated processes where they were creating these site collections, and they were worried about the prior limit on the site collection, which was 500,000, right? To ensure that this will not be a bottleneck for the overall effort, once we had private channels as well, to assuage any concerns around this, we actually, initially we doubled it, and then we actually quadrupled it. So right now the site collection limit is actually 2 million, right? To ensure that addition of private channels and adoption of private channels does not lead to any concerns with respect to the number of site collections in a tenant.
Okay.
That's great. So speaking of the architecture, what were some of the engineering challenges that you faced of creating a new channel type from, say, the specific, when you came out with standard channels, now you have these private channels, and then kind of putting that into the
the infrastructure and the Office 365 groups and the membership and dealing with that scenario of kind of forking off into a different plan.
Awesome question, right? So let me start off by saying that, you know, what we do is we are, you know, very customer and scenario driven. So we start right from the user experience. That is the first position that we start with. And we looked at why do customers need private channels? What are the scenarios that it satisfies? How do we ensure that we design? And once we were convicted that those scenarios were all valid, they were, you know, really great. Customers were worried about group sprawl or team sprawl, given teams are backed by groups. They wanted to ensure from an end user perspective, you had to now manage two different teams, right? In the absence of private channels, what ended up happening is that you would, let's say, create a single channel team, and then you are constantly switching between two different contexts, and which was kind of taking away from the promise of teams and having all of these channels contextually available right there. So we started with the user experience promise first in terms of how can we make the whole collaboration more seamless, more effective. So that was the first part. So we wanted to ensure that when we designed this, the end user, the team owner, the channel owner, everybody is very clear in terms of what the functionality they get is and how do they collaborate within that. And there are various different aspects to it, which, you know, kind of I can talk through in terms of you know, three different personas, which is the member of the private channel, the owner of the private channel, the owner of the team, as well as the admin, right? So you have to take all of these personas into account. And so we design based on each one of these personas, making sure that they have the right level of experience and information available at their fingertips. I'll take the team owner as an example. So the trade-off that we did is to make sure that since the team owner is managing the team, the lifecycle of the private channel, the classification, all of that is tied to the team and it continues to be the governance unit. We wanted to make sure that the team owners, for example, have three critical pieces of information about all of the channels, including the private channels in their team, right? So the team owner, even though they cannot get to see the contents of the private channel because that was a scenario requirement, we ensured that the team owner gets to see the name of all of the private channels in the team, the owners, who are the owners of the private channel, and the last activity date, right? So that is one aspect of approaching it from a UX perspective. Now, the second aspect of the question that you were raising is, what are the technical challenges, architectural challenges that we faced, right? So like I mentioned earlier, Teams and Office are backed by Office 365 groups, right? And it's a very well-established pattern that, you know, different aspects of the ecosystem understand. In fact, you know, there are multiple different applications, like an Office 365 groups is understood by Teams, it's understood by Outlook, it's understood in by Planner, it shows up in Graph and PowerShell, it shows up in multiple different admin portals. So we wanted to make sure that whatever design we come up with actually confirms to that, at the same time, you know, extends that so that it enables this private channel collaboration scenario. And the key challenge we faced over there is that by design, a team or an Office 365 group is designed for open collaboration with everybody in that group or a team, right? Whereas private channels kind of mandated that it has to be a subset. And that architecture did not easily scale, right? So to make sure that, you know, we keep to the promise of the data or the contents of a private channel being scoped to members of the private channel, we did a set of changes. The first one is what Dino actually pointed out and what I discussed originally, which is that for the files portion of things, we create a separate site collection, store the file content there, but make sure that, you know, that is as seamless as possible to the channel member, to the channel owner, to the team owner, and to the admin to the extent possible, right? So that is one aspect of it. The second aspect of that architecture is how compliance is handled. Right? Because from an Office 365 perspective, from a Teams perspective, how compliance is handled for channel messages is that, I'll take an example of eDiscovery, how the compliance is handled for eDiscovery is that they a copy of the messages are actually stored in the group mailbox. That is how eDiscovery compliance is handled. But in the private channel case, we do not store the channel messages in the group mailbox, because group mailbox potentially is accessible by everybody in the group. In that scenario, we actually store the compliance copy of the messages in the user mailboxes. This ensures that only members of the private channel have access to the content. At the same time, the content is available for eDiscovery. And of course, SharePoint files content, you know, is done through the SharePoint site. So these are some of the interesting challenges that, you know, we had to work with.
So how do you keep that like governance container, which was the Office 365 group, still linked to these private channels that have kind of, they're still linked from a membership perspective. They're still from the hierarchy, still under the group, but they're, like you said, you're putting it into the individual mailboxes versus the group mailbox and has its own SharePoint site collection.
So here is what happens. I'll talk specifically about the site collection, right? So what we do with respect to the site collection is when a team, first of all, let me start off by saying that, you know, there are admin controls that manage, like similar to the way you control who can create a group, which is through a security group. You have a team's policy that governs who in the organization can create private channels. Also, team owners can actually control whether members can create private channels in their team or only team owners can create private channels. So that is one aspect of governance. The next aspect of governance is that when, you know, a team owner or a member, whoever has permission, creates a private channel, we automatically silently create the SharePoint site collection in the background as a part of this. And as a part of this creation, we do a set of functionality to ensure that, you know, the right governance can be applied, right? So the first thing is that site collection is created in the same geography as the parent team so that the data stays in the correct location. The second thing that we do is if the tenant is using data classification and in future sensitivity label, right, we make sure that that label is actually inherited by the site collection that gets created. So if you have management scripts or administration scripts that, let's say, you tag your sites or groups as confidential or highly confidential, you continue to have the same functionality in the site collection because they have the same classification applied to them. And this classification is strictly kept in sync with the team. So if you change the classification on the team, we automatically change the classification on the site collection. The third thing that we do is the policy that is set for guest access, we bring over whatever is set on the team site, we automatically bring that over to the private channel site collection, but you can override later using PowerShell if as required. So we try and, you know, kind of bring these together automatically so that extra steps are not required and the governance that you do on top of it kind of translates through.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
So, and you know, you mentioned, you know, we're customer centric and customer focused first. You know, that's how you started developing. Maybe you can give us, given that this is like the number one user voice requested feature, maybe a scenario or two as to where somebody or how a client or a customer would use a private channel in their environment, right?
For sure, right? So there are two sets of scenarios that we have actually broadly heard with respect to how private channels can be used, right? So one is, like I mentioned, you have the broader team, and then you need to have a collaboration within a subset of the team, and nobody else should see that content. It could be like, you know, leadership discussing strategic acquisition in a broader team. It could be, you know, managers of people discussing performance of their employees so that they have, we have even seen cases where, you know, managers actually have one-on-one conversations in private channels, right? So these kind of allow you to bring all of that in the Uber container of a team into a shared collaboration space. At the same time, you know, as you do your routine work in standard channels, you can also keep these more private conversations in that space, right? So that is one aspect, which is more about making sure that the information access or the content access is scoped to the right set of people. The second scenario where it broad category of scenario where it's actually helpful is maybe just to have focus, right? Maybe there is something that a sub project that you are working on, which is actually not relevant to most of the other people, right? So you can actually create that focused group within or a focused channel within the broader space and actually collaborate in that without having to switch multiple teams or even managing membership across multiple teams. So these are the two broad scenarios. The primary one is actually around creating that private space, but the second one is also about focus so that, you know, you don't end up distracting the others in the team with respect to a project or a collaboration that's going on.
Okay, and then so within the, you know, within those use cases, obviously, from the broader team perspective and the channel side, you have the applications that can be installed, whether they're a Microsoft provided one or a third party application. Do those still apply into the private channel themselves? So you can you apply some of those feature rich applications into the private channel?
That's a great question. So the short answer is yes, most of those applications apply with a few exceptions, right? So let me talk about tabs first, because those are the easiest to relate to. So first you have to install the application at the team level, because the consent to the application happens at the group and the team owner level, right? So you have to first install the application at the team level, and then it can be used in the private channel. So if you look at the private channel today, if you add a tab, you will see that it supports pretty much all of the rich application functionality that a standard channel supports, with a few exceptions, right? Like one of the exceptions is Planner. This is because Planner is very, very closely tied to the Office 365 group. So we wanted to make sure that when we support Planner in private channels, the membership is absolutely scoped to members of the private channel, right? So this is one of the, maybe going back to Michael's question in terms of the architectural challenges, this was one of the challenges that we are still working through with the Planner team to make sure that in future we support Planner in private channels, but scope to the right audience.
Awesome,
messaging
thank you.
Extensions,
Go ahead.
Extensions are something that is not supported right now from an SDK perspective, but that is something that, in future we plan to support. Same for bots. So bots and messaging extensions are something that we plan to support in future.
Cool. Really good stuff. What I'm really interested in, Roshan, is, as Habib mentioned, of course, private channels was a longstanding customer ask. There was a pretty big engineering effort. It was pretty complex, and looks like you guys did a great job. What are you seeing now in terms of private channels being out there in terms of customer asks? What are the common asks now that private channels is out there in the hands of people?
Great question. So our our goal is to actually enable natural patterns of collaboration, right? Like which happens, like, depending on, how you work, different companies, they have different styles of working, different needs. We want to make sure that, we meet them where they are, right? So in that regard, listening to user feedback, and Teams has a user voice that, customers can and users can use for giving us feedback, and we monitor that very closely. We have a lot of conversations with customers across different channels, including, at Ignite, we have a lot of rich conversations. So there are some of the scenarios that, our customers have told us, right? Like one of them is what we call channel-only members and guests. So what I mean by that scenario is the ability to add somebody either within your organization or outside the organization to a channel in the team without giving them access to the entire team, right? You might be having a collaboration with, let's say, somebody from legal department or somebody from marketing department on a specific project. You have, collaboration needs with them, but they don't need to do the design, engineering, all the rest of the channels, right? So that is one scenario that we have heard from customers, which we call channel-only members and guests. We hear scenarios around companies working across boundaries, essentially the ability to kind of share a channel either within teams in the same organization or across teams in different organizations. So that is one of the user voice feedback items that we see a lot of interest in. We hear about scenarios where users want to convert a channel from one type to the other, let's say convert a standard channel to a private channel or a private channel into a standard channel, essentially start a project in a scoped way, and then once it has developed to a richer set, expand that or vice versa. The other set of scenarios that we hear about are with respect to, mirroring natural world occurrences in an organization, like, sometimes reorgs happen or a project changes ownership, right? So how do I move a project which is a channel in this team to another team? So these are some of the things we really appreciate, users giving us these kind of feedback through user voice channels. So I highly recommend, your viewers to actually kind of give us feedback through the same channel, because it helps us as the product team look at all of the interesting scenarios that our customers want. And, it helps prioritize as well, because you can actually upvote each one of the scenarios that exist there so that, we get that feedback.
Right. Yeah, I think those common asks mirror what we've heard too from the people we've talked to. So, yeah, and just a reminder for our viewers, just search Teams User Voice, and that website comes up. And as Roshan said, they're very scenario driven. So if there's a scenario you really feel strongly about, make sure it's in User Voice and upvote it. Thanks, Roshan. That was great.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll definitely include the link for the User Voice on the podcast blog site under there. Definitely a lot of really good insight into how the private channels discussion has evolved into something that's actually tangible and in your hands now, and really interesting to see what the customer scenarios that people are wanting, you know, especially being able to manipulate the private channel into something else. So I, you know, it's definitely exciting to hear that, you know, there's a lot of ask for that, and hopefully, you know, there'll be a little bit more upvote so we can start seeing that ourselves. So again, thanks everybody for listening in. Thank you, Roshan. Really appreciate you coming on and giving us your insights. And again, thanks everybody for listening in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.